Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got another great show. We've got Tat Eric Gonzalez. He's the Earth Wisdom Keeper within the traditional indigenous circles and within the native peoples of the Maya. Tat Eric is called, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, to Kij, I can't even say this one, but we'll get through that, and Akama Bay spiritual teacher. His entire life has been walking between the worlds, the physical, mental, with the spiritual, elemental, and his lifelong experience has become aware of the supernatural beings that hold and co-create cosmic, natural, elemental forces, and the ceremonies he has received, their blessings and their manifestations, so it becomes more than a human ceremony experience, but a true dimensional spiritual experience. I can go on this. He has a sanctuary in Mount Shasta, and he's got some amazing things here that we can go into. I'd rather go into the show with him, but I want to bring Tat Eric on. Is it best to call you Tat Eric or Tat, or what do you go by?
Good morning to everyone, and greetings to you. My people call me, because of my our position within the circle of the people. They said Tat Eric,
Mm-hmm. Great.
So,
I don't want to be disrespectful. I just want to make sure I get things right here. Don't want a lightning bolt coming down on me. So, anyway, thanks for coming on the show. I know we have some mutual friends, and they. Talk to me about the work that you do, and they said it's pretty profound. And I'm really curious. I know you maintain sacred space, and you do a lot of ceremonial work, to maintain those sacred spaces. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, about the work you do, and the necessity of that work now on the planet.
Thank you. So again, we always say greetings to all my relations. Thank you. You said my name is Eric Gonzalez, and I am one of the Kamal Beys. We call them the Akhkich. These are the spiritual leaders within the Maya nation. And so, from all my life, I've been involved with our traditional, and now we here in the United States, as the invitation has come up to share more broadly, what we've been doing is, maintaining and sustaining our traditional ways, that are very close to the Mother Earth, the indigenous ways, And so that's been most of my work, and we have worked with plants, plant teachers for almost 40 years or so. So that's kind of a lot of our healing and doctoring ways that we have. And then as a spiritual leader, we've been uniting our humanity. For a long time, it was just within the indigenous nations, to see what was left of our people, because we were all very scattered and especially like in Guatemala and some of the other South American countries, our traditional ways were being hidden, and not just because people will say something, but they will actually kill you, for doing our ceremonies. So that's how we grew up, and so as we find today, our work continues to unify humanity. As like you heard too, the prophecies of the Rainbow Warriors, it is time. We've been going through our ceremonial moments that, according to our prophecies, we accomplished and completed well, like the 13 Bakhtun, the 2012, everybody talking about it a while back. But for us, it has begun an era of a new galactic season. Excuse me. And in this galactic season, we find ourselves in a dawning of consciousness, a dawning of another opportunity to reconnect to what is sacred in our universe. As humanity, we know now we've gone off way into unbalanced and disharmonized ways, that it is destroying our mother, our future for our generations to come. So this is what we've been doing, the gatherings of the condor and the eagle, the ceremonial gatherings, and now we have two sanctuaries, two sacred places where we have ceremonial grounds. This is where we do the dances, velas, you know, medicine work, and a lot of the gatherings from all over the world. And so we have one here at just north of Mount Shasta, you know, as many of you know, holy place. And we're at a ancient Shasta Maidu village area, a place where some of the first ghost dances was done here in this land, and some of the old ways, you know, that were kept here. So it is still, the land's got a lot of memory. We have a lot of springs, as we know as well. There's a, you know, a very beautiful, very, very important thing now about the water, you know. And that's what we've been saying for years. So, you know, my friends say, you know, we should share a little more, you know, like you, and thank you for your opportunity given us, you know, and the moments to meet each other and share with your relatives, you know, because we are in a strong mission, you know, to share, to unite, to invite the alliances that we need. You know, we have a large alliance all around the world, a lot of people who are also doing their sanctuaries, like you also, James. You have a land, you know, close to the spiritual where things are coming in and out, you know, that are instructing us again. So we've been, you know, also experiencing quite a bit of things here, you know, like we said, those we call them the galactic beings, you know, and spiritual forces that are telling us how, what, when, and how to guide us. So thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit, you know, to add to your efforts as well, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering if the, I know the contacts we've been having here, they've kind of identified themselves, and they're mostly Pleiadian, and then there's an Orion Council of Light are the main ones, but we also have, you know, Andromedans, Arcturians, you know, Sirians, these feline beings. I'm wondering if you're having some of the same experiences in your ceremonies.
Well, we always do, you know, we have a strong relationship to what we call the supernatural beings or the multidimensional traveler beings. You know, they go back and forth, and then, you know, with our work with the plants, because some of the plants are not just plants to give us a certain feelings, but they are the tools to, you know, interdimensional travels as well, and open more of the communication. So for us, it's been a way of life, you know, meeting supernatural beings. Some of these are, I experienced, you know, up here with the Yurok people up in the mountains of Wichipec, you know, in Northern California, you know, with beings that come and always in ceremonies. Like for us here, we've been experiencing quite a bit of lightning heads, large, very large balls of light left by the what we call them thunder beings, you know. And then there's you know, other things that we experienced, that a lot of it's been filmed, you know. We've been filming our ceremonies, so certain things have been documented very well, you know.
Great. The I was wondering, now you have a relationship with the Blue Corn sky people. I'm wondering if some people would call, I mean, we've met some beings that are blue in ancient times, you know. Some of the ancient Vedic scriptures talk about a blue race of people, and then the Andromedans actually have a race of beings that are actually blue skin. They're actually copper based instead of iron based beings, you know. They're different than we are. I wonder if these are the same groups that you would be working with.
I'm sure that once we get to the universal forces, there is a commonality there, you know. The way that we experience in them is it'll be more bluish light, and sometimes they're not even humanoid. You know, there's just these forces they're coming through, and, you know, and showing us, like an example. For years, we've been developing, you know, what is known here as like the sweat lodges. We call them temazcalis, you know, we call them tuch. And that's a place for us that the elementals become one. And so through our ceremonies, through the, you know, our participation, we open up what we call the stargates, like our the Mayan fire ceremonies. They are stargates that, you know, we have this relationship back and forth through the universal veil. And that's why you hear us talking a lot like that, you know. And so this blue being who, you know, manifested, you know, is, and we're going to use a design for our Earth Wisdom School, because it's being guided by these blue beings, you know, and a lot of our elders, they, we agree, you know, and we recognize, you know, who they are, and but it's more, what's what we call them, you know, these are the blue corn people, even though they're not humanoid, they're most of light, you know, and so, but they have moved us through, you know, with large groups of people inside of our arbors and experienced things that, you know, we have a lot, quite a bit on film, you know. And it's a lot of it in the elemental response to what we do, you know. So in sharing this is a purpose, you know. The purpose is to bring the consciousness of humanity to awareness again, an awareness that we live on a living being, what we call Mother Earth. And some of our relations, these blue corn people, they left us some prophecies a while back. And we built a arbor, you know, the Maya left codices. And so in the codice, there's a part of it where it we call it the galactic cross. You know, this cross, it puts things in order, you know, not just from our world, but into how we're going to travel back and forth through the dimensions. So when you take that one-dimensional picture and you pull it and you make it three-dimensional, we have our arbor. This is like made out of wood, big timbers, and it's in the measurements of cosmic cross. And so in it, it talks about when, you know, at the time of the dawning, that the people of the red corn with the yellow, with the black and the white corn will bring 13 clans of each of those colors to around a circle of a fire. But they have to come in, you know, in oneness, and of course there's our peace and all this, the evolutionary process that we need to be, where when the 52 are there in place, then the blue corn people will, you know, rejoin us. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there's a lot of already, you know, events and things that are happening all around the earth, you know, that we know we're not alone, and we don't need any approval or agreement by anybody's official to the, whether they exist or not. You know, this is our traditional old ways that we never lost. Mm-hmm. And so we see it now, you know, with the Blue Kachina manifesting itself from the Hopis, you know, and other of our people are also sharing, you know. So the Maya too is sharing about the Blue Corn people and what we need to do right now. You know, that's why the gatherings, that's why the healings, the doctrines, that's why the bringing about again the human to think about the responsibility of our sharing to the earth and to all living beings, you know, plants, minerals, animal, they call it, and so forth. So we know already there's a lot of multidimensional beings helping humanity, you know, and so like for us there, we call them like extractions, you know, we don't call them abductions because nobody's abducting anybody. They're extracting us from our physical moments and putting us into a higher way of being where we are instructed again. And so that's kind of what our journey has been, you know.
Yeah, I've always not liked that word abduction, you know, because a lot of it is agreed upon, and it's a willing participant, you know, it's a shared experience. And I think there are some negative experiences. There are some beings out there that may not be have our highest and best good, you know, at heart, you know, as well as aspects of our own government. But, you know, that seems to be the main focus, especially like I just spoke at the International UFO Conference. And And there's a lot of emphasis on it being very dark. You should be very afraid. You know, they're here to use us, steal our seed, you know, and then create, you know, human pilaf out of us or something, you know, some like dinner. But, you know, it's just like, my God, I'm really surprised at how the spiritual component is totally disregarded in a lot of avenues. And even in the MUFON community and things like that, they're so focused on nuts and bolts, you know, and proving that this exists. And, you know, I had people come up to me at the conference and saying, you know, you need this device and this device and this device to prove that they exist. And I told them, I said, this is a way of life for me. You know, this is happening all my life. I've been in contact with these beings. I said, well, it's not a matter of proving they exist. It's like, who are they? Why are they here? And what do they have to share? You know, what are they reminding us of? And people just couldn't understand that. And they want me to participate in these disclosure movements and everything else. And I said, well, the ETs are going to disclose, you know, themselves when the time is right. And it's up to us to rise to the occasion and get our consciousness in order, you know, for that to happen. And it's kind of interesting, but this time it was met with an overwhelming positive response, you know, when I went and spoke at the Congress. So hopefully people are ready for that type of message.
Yeah. And like for us, you know, we're like, we're not caught up in the proving or disproving or arguing about it. Yeah. Like you said too, you know, it is our way of, it's been our way of life. And sometimes, you know, these are the stories we tell in our swellage, or we tell them in the arbor, you know, and this actually a lot of the things that people are viewing and then experiencing themselves, you know. So like, when it comes to the companies, governments, you know, we don't even dialogue with them. They're somewhere else. Yeah, there's nothing to talk with them, you know, because we know that nature has the true power, and spirit has nothing to do with governments or companies or scientists who prove it or disprove it. So we've been in a nice direct relationship, you know. There's no dialogue there, so we don't kind of waste our time with all that. We're participating in the evolutionary process of our species. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's what we have been focusing on, into creating the sanctuaries, or traveling through and into and from the sacred sites, you know, into the spiritual realm, is where a lot of our youth, a lot of our elders, a lot of our people have been in and out, getting instructions, getting healings, getting guidance, you know, to see who and when and how many will be able to hold the shift, with, you know, and so whether the rest of the humanity agrees or don't agree, if we stayed in that realm, we will waste too much time, you know, because there's much to do, you know. There's so much to set in place. Like right now, with some of my elders, we're trying to we know what they are, but we're going to document them through either recordings or books like this, about what are the original instructions that mm-hmm. stand on their own when we have these relationships with the spiritual beings, the multidimensional beings, and why this earth, this Mother Earth, is so important for them and for us. We know there's some already, you know, there's diseases, and there's some of the people call them the Greys. You know, there were kind of other ancient, you know, beings who devour worlds, but they're very small amount to compare to the people who care about this. The problem mm-hmm. right now is humanity. Is where in our insect brain do we go so far off in the wrong direction that we destroy our own future? But in the blue, within the bluish, the blue energy, these beings, there is the consciousness of evolution into and through matter to spiritual. And so that's the words we use, you know. And of course, some of the people will interpret in a change of words, you know, into, yeah, we're becoming galactic frequencies again. And that's what, you know, we remember that we are beyond just physical bodies, trying to find a spiritual meaning to life. You know, this humanity with the religions and all their systems has inadequately indoctrinated us to, you know, these creatures. You know, humanity is turning to creatures now, really, you know, and creatures of the low underworlds, creatures that do not evolution. Creatures who stayed in the fighting and the addictions and all the confusions that is being done, you know. And so for us, you know, is we share, and then, you know, others, some, you know, physical and you know, spiritual attacks, whatever they call it, you know, or that we have to say, no, this is proven or that's not, you know, we're just in participation of the evolutionary medicine for humanity.
Mm-hmm. I know science, they're self-defeating, a lot of scientists, because there are enlightened ones out there, they're starting to figure it out, but you know, they agree that there's at least 11 dimensions out there. Some say 26, you know, they have different theories, but you know, by that process, you know, they know there's all of these events happening that are non-physical, but at the same time they want everything to be proven through a physical apparatus or it's not true, which is totally self-defeating. You know, how do you measure non-physical events with a physical device? You know, unless we do have some devices here that that bridge that gap, like infrared night vision goggles and infrared spotlights, where we can light up the fourth dimension so people can see that they're surrounded by orbs and other energies. But you know, there are some technologies that can take you a little ways, but really the real technology is in consciousness. And through consciousness, you can experience these higher dimensions and realities. But, you know, as far as coming back, you know, I always tell people, well, give me a fifth dimensional camera and I'll take some pictures, you know, or give me a sixth dimensional camera, you know, or a seventh dimensional. And, you know, but we just don't have the technology that I know of to actually, you know, do this, other than a spiritual technology. It really comes from within.
Yeah, and we have, you know, maybe some people will say, oh, well, with the plant teachers, you know, they're just a psychotropic experience. But there is something about that element, you know, of the spirit molecule. The Maya called it the God seat. This is the doorway to in back and forth to have this awareness, this expansion of the natural abilities of our brain, let's say, and then we find through that doorway the real being of who we are, and then we find out that we're not just this physical person limited to this, but that we are in this multidimensional participation of our consciousness. And so the thing that we've seen through the Western world, when they're not, you know, when they're seeking these experiences through the plants, you know, or drugs, then they miss a lot, because one, that's not the option. Two, there's more to how to integrate and understand that doorway, where we don't need no machine or proven or something, because we, you know, that you lived it, you know. And so through the activities, the actions, you know, what we call ceremonies of many of the indigenous people, is to not only stay very solid, very grounded, very aware, but also very expansive, to where there's unlimited awareness that we can really tap into what you call dimensions. You know, we call, there's 13 frequencies, frequential worlds. Each of these worlds has left us a map. And so, you know, then we know how to navigate. Like a lot of the Mayan Kamal Bays, they call them, they have mapped some of these doorways, and in what's in some of the original instructions of how to be there. It's like the United Nations laws of agreements, you know. We respect this, we do that, but once you, if you violate that, like what people are doing with these plant teachers, they just, There's no proper arrangement. There's no proper requests. There's no proper like knocking on the doors. People just busting through the doors into other dimensions. And then, like you said, they have some bad experiences. So, you know, they say, oh, there's that was an abduction, or this was this or that. And that's not the case. It's just that we have been indoctrinating and believing all these limitations. If you come from a mind of indigenous, you know, what we're doing right now is just so illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's like, how would they even think that that's okay to do?
Yeah.
Well, we think all of the world is natural. You know, it's okay to destroy the forest. It's okay to pollute the water. It's okay to go to war and invest all, you know. Everybody is fine with that. It's fine with now reading a label that says organic natural food, or they say alternative medicine. Just a minute. That ancient medicine is the original medicine. You know, just those words. So when we go with that kind of mind into the dimensions and meet these beings, you know, then we, you know, like if you go to another country and you sit on their table, and you're going to be disrespectful. So there's a lot of, you know, preparations for us to start having, and that's what our work is right now, is to prepare, to kind of introduce our people from the outside of our circles, you know, that there is an indigenous original way in which all those things are natural, and we don't need to approve or disapprove or get into an argument about it. It's like indigenous people hardly ever, you know, unless the person is changed, as a doctrine, never get involved in discussions about, say, religion, of what's right or what's wrong, or how to tell somebody else what to do. It doesn't exist in those thought forms, because in the thought form of those people is that we want you to be at your full potential. We want you to witness for yourself the immensity of our universe. And so however what you bring in that vision to share with us, it is received as like, a whole, you know, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, wait a minute, what if you, how come you didn't take a picture? How come you, you know, it's, we know that that was a true experience with the universe, you know, and we know we're not the only ones on this, even on this Mother Earth. There's multidimensional beings who have been here for a very long time, longer than us, you know. But as we prepare the activities, set the stage, so to speak, to the, what we call the ceremonial grounds, you know, they're holy grounds. This is the gate, the stargates. You know, when we use the elementals, we ask the elementals, the water is a element of transportation between dimensions. As we know, the water evaporates. It does, you know, all that what it does. The fire, the same thing. One fire can talk to all the fires in the sky. These are the stargates. Elementals talk to each other. And we as humans have maintained that connection through those elementals. Then there's all the frequencies. Then there's the, you know, through the activities of depleting the mind of all that it needs, you know, like the body. We need, like they call it, the vision quest, you know, the preparations to sit in quietness, to stop the body from activities, you know, from thinking, from analyzing, from confusing. And so we get to that place of oneness. And in that place of oneness, there's no to judge, not to prove, not disapprove. But then as the instructions are coming from those spaces, is that we have dedicated our lives for. And if we talk about those experiences, some people say, well, how did it start for you? Well, I was paralyzed when I was 2 years old with polio. And from 3 on to as far as I remember, I have very well lived another life. And so many people in our circles, they know, because they've been with us for 20, 30 years, they've seen how we crystallize visions, or we crystallize instructions. We make things happen from the spiritual thought forms into physical. And then people are witnessing these supernatural beings, you know. And so as we, you know, continue to follow instructions like this sharing, you know, into the world, as we continue to do many other places, you know, is mm-hmm. to, you know, invite the people to sit in those sanctuaries, to cleanse ourselves from the contamination that is all in our seven bodies and is in our consciousness. Because in this way of being, we cannot enter the spiritual realm. Uh-huh. Anything that is identity, anything that is my ego, anything that is I want, that I have to, that I must, you know, it does not fit over there. It's got to uh-huh. stay here. And so when that happens, you know, in that process for us, they start to say, okay, what's it going to take for us to be in that oneness, to really feel and sense and witness those spiritual beings, the spiritual entities, you know, and that way we don't have this confusion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to digress just a little bit because I've noticed that a lot of people are, you know, in my own personal opinion, are abusing, you know, a lot of plant medicine and drugs and things like that. And they use them recreationally, or they don't create the sacred space necessary or the protection, you know, for that to happen. And I know there's a lot of people doing like ayahuasca ceremonies and things like that. And it's almost more of a recreational situation. And I've seen them actually get possessed, you know, by reptilian and other spirits and other beings because they weren't doing things, you know, in a sacred way and in a positive way. And to maintain a, you know, a lot of these things they do, they open doorways and open gates. And if we aren't doing it in a very sacred manner, you know, I'd love to get your talk on that, like your views on that, where they are, you know, a lot of these things aren't being done in sacred places or in a sacred way. And what are the consequences of that?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that, because we have we made a whole class, you know, I call them the teleclasses, you know, because I don't write or read very good. And so, but I shared in the oral tradition, the way we speak like this, you know, about the plant teachers. And yes, you're right. You know, when we start talking about what we call the Xibalba, this is the world, the underworld. This is where a lot of the humanity now is turning into those creatures. Uh-huh. They are taken by the soul catchers, we call them. And these soul catchers are invited by, let's say, an example, that somebody just playing around, went to take mushrooms or ayahuasca or other plants. You know, that opens those doorways, and then they got caught. There was no system. There was no vessel to travel. And it's like you're propelled from a sling, and you're going out 100 miles an hour into a cliff. Mm-hmm. Or if you drop off the cliff and you don't have a bungee cord, then you're going to hit that ground. And this is exactly what's happening to the. We see a lot of young people who have been possessed, who, you know, now are slaves to the soul catchers. And there's a reptilian, very, you know, horrible looking people there. And that's what they feast upon. They feast upon the energy that you can produce through your addictions or through your ignorance of not respecting holy ground. That's why a lot of the indigenous people prepare for those things, because it's not experimenting. It's been ancient, you know. We've done it for millions of years, and we never lost the connection. And so when we have our, we call them spirit allies, some of these are these multidimensional beings. They protect us. They shelter us. They are alert, you know, and they're there to help us, to guide us through these dimensions. You know, because when, let's say, people are experimenting with, like, the DMT, you know, the smoked toad, you know, there's a medicine we have that you smoke the the poison from toads, you know. But that's been very ancient, and it was put away, just like the toads teach us. You know, they go down into the ground for 50 years sometimes. So, but the Pandora box is broken. Wasn't opened nicely. It was busted out. So everybody's jumping into it. And what's happening is a lot of the, you know, the multidimensional and mental and physical welfare of those people are now compromised. And yes, there are in falling in the nets of the soul catchers, like a lot of these festivals. You know, I've seen a lot of our young people go to the festivals, you know, and they have nice names, you know, oh, the healing festival or the all oneness or this, you know, and a lot of drugs, a lot of experimentation, and there's a lot of soul catchers, a lot of hunters, you know, energy hunters through humans, you know, that those become a place of feasting. That's what some of our people, you know, we look at those and we're like, wow, man, this is not safe for us here. And people are having fun. That's where they're gathering by the 90s of thousands, you know, through the music. Yeah. But there's a gateway there that is very low ground, very open to the soul catchers, and there's where we're losing a lot of our humanity.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen that over and over, and I noticed that people that have fallen into that become, you know, who were once your allies actually become in opposition to you, you know, and they, I call it barking. They start like barking at you, you know, like creating dissension and problems, you know, and things like that. And when you, a lot of times if somebody's really gone over, you know, to the dark side or been really taken over, it's sad because it's once what was a really good friend will become, you know, like your arch enemy almost, you know, it's like, because these entities step into them, you know, and ended up taking over. But in each case I've seen, they've been pretty much invited, you know, they've been invited through drugs and alcohol, or they've been invited through refusal to process, you know, old wounds and traumas and the need to be right and things like that, that all allow this energy to have a home.
We witnessed that quite a bit, and it's, you know, that's a place where we also, a lot of our elders are in a place of just stepping back and holding to what we call the sacred. We said we stay close to the fire and don't let it go out. That's not just a little wood fire, ceremonial fire. This is your energy fire. This is your essence, you know. And when we open the door to these addictions or to like all those things you name, you know, not able to really look at ourselves, because some people go into the ceremonies thinking, oh, it's a love and light and, you know, everything's nice. But there's a reality to this universe that is not all in the love and light. There's also the Shivalba, very real to us, you know, this underworld. And so when we do not follow the original instructions, so this is take us back to why we keep sharing, you know, about the original instructions. So there's each of these elementals, each of these dimensions has what we call a bundle, or if you, another metaphor would be these instructions, you know, written in laser beams or left in crystals or, you know, left in the elementals, where we cannot but learn from it. When we turn our backs to it, that's when we pay the price, like we're doing today in the world, you know. So, you know, we're in a massive underworld slavery kind of thing. And so some of the people who talk against it becomes those revolutionaries or the targets to a lot of hard things for them, you know. So the thing that they told us was stay close to that fire, because in that ceremonial fire, there is this blue beings, there is these light beings, there's others call them archangels, or, you know, very incredible teachers that nature, it's aligned to it, you know. And so and when we align with nature, there's clarity, there's grounding, there's health, there's balance, there's harmony, there's the understanding that that stick sticking down, when you didn't bend down, you're just going to hit your head, and now you have a hole in your head, you know, a little blood coming out. And that's a reality. That is an original instructions, how to walk in the land, how to, you know, not put your hand in the fire. It's like teaching a baby. That's hot. That's what we're telling humanity. That's hot. Okay, so they don't listen, they get burned, right? And so this is why we are sharing and expanding our circles, and our responsibility is to keep that ceremony of fire, to share about this, because we want people to experience that. We want people to integrate it properly. We want them to be safe. We want them to be joyous. We want them to go beyond the comfort zone, you know, to beyond what we've been indoctrinated into. And then all these things are very natural. You might find out your actual place of your spaceship, you know, like say UFOs, now what's your spaceship? Where's your station? Where's your world you're coming from? You know, and so all those things, it starts to become a natural thing that we go through, and there's no big thing, you know. I mean, it is sacred, it's holy, but it's not to make it confused, you know, with the humanity and all these things that are going on, because in it also there's those underworld lords that are slaving people in their yearning to wanting to know, in their yearning to witness, in their yearning to understand what's happening to them, to us, you know. Then we start going, and sometimes we find a soul hunter, you know, who's already, you know, belongs to these underworld beings, and then you're in trouble. And so, you know, there's a reality too, you know, but our focus is in the evolutionary process. You know, we know that world exists. We see humanity all over those cities, you know, and hunting each other. A lot of people look like different kind of creatures already, and it's kind of spooky, you know. You see it, it's like, wow, you know, what happened to us? You know, we were given an opportunity to live in a beautiful place that we were given everything we will ever need and beyond. Mm-hmm. And look what we've done to it. And so this is where the base for our sharing is to our relations all around, you know, to contemplate and dedicate their lives in searching that truth, you know, our truth, you know, in the one place that is not going to lie to you. Because all we humans, we make sometimes misunderstandings, and we do not understand what we say. Sometimes we say good morning and people heard, oh, what the heck are you doing here, you know. It's like, how could you hear that from the words good morning? So we know there's already a dialogue, a frequency disturbance, you know, but a place that we can go to is nature. Sit at the edge of the ocean, you know, watch the sky, you know, be in those solitude places, and there you will find the truth, you know, the quietness. And when you are open and taken through the veil, you know, when we cross the veil into the spiritual realm, all these conversations cease to exist. These conversations don't exist over there. They're only here in our limited point of observation. But when we are in the spiritual way, like you and me will meet over there, and many of our relatives will be in ceremony, and we meet at the spiritual realm, it is a different gathering, a different language. And all this analyzing and labeling and compartmentalizing, they do not exist over there, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we come back, we need to integrate them. Then we have to almost compartmentalize our experience to say, oh, wow, was that a vision? Was that an illusion? Was that a presence of divine? Or was just something that, it is there at what dimension? And then we start to understand it a little bit, you know. But it always transfers from that place. It always transfers to wholeness and oneness and healing and harmony, and we start learning honor and respect, and we start following the love, grace, and gratitude that would lead to reverence for life, you know, gratitude for what we have, what we've been giving, love what we are doing, and love what we can become. And then the that grace so that we don't have to be in shame and then run. You know, people run when they lose their grace, you know. And so, like then, like you said, they become violent, they become enemies, they become the ones who want to destroy life itself because they lost their grace, their shame, you know, they don't want to face that true apology to life, to Creator, you know, to the world, to this dimensional beings who, you know, allowed you to make contact, allowed you to see it, but then we didn't know what to even say. You know, sometimes we take people through the veil and then, you know, they look good on this world, they talk really good, but then they have nothing to say. It's like become numb. So we have to go back to those very early times of our creation and say, okay, what are we carrying? You know, what are we limiting ourselves from? Why are we afraid? You were given the opportunity this time to evolution, look at this new cycle in our world. We're given the opportunities. People say, we began the sixth sun, but all the ways we are, the way we behave, the way we treat nature, the way we treat each other, cannot go into the spiritual realm. You are not allowed over there in the holy grounds until we transform ourselves here. And that's the strong, beautiful work that we're doing, you know.
I agree. Now, it seems like, I know, you know, everybody has different names for the you know, some people call them the Archon Network, you know, the negative beings that have kind of enslaved humanity for so long, soul catchers, you know, there's different names for these beings. But it seems like recently that whole network or that grid is just being torn apart and done away with, you know, by the higher dimensional beings and the Earth's evolution as well. I mean, she's moving forward and ascending, you know, doing her thing. But I'm curious if you're noticing the same thing. It seems like that realm is getting very agitated and very, I mean, there's the cleanup process, they're really freaking out and reaching out and trying to create more disruption right now, which means we need to become, live even closer to the land and become more of a sacred, you know, live a sacred life. But I'm curious if you're noticing the same thing, that both there's a huge influx of energy and higher dimensional beings coming in right now, but at the same time, the what's left of this Archon grid and network is becoming very agitated and trying to create, you know, they're really hanging on, trying to keep their world, but their world is coming to an end.
Yep, you're right there. Yeah, and that's also what we are witnessing as well. You know, the need for this underworld to continue devouring is even more, you know, in their ideas, if I can't have it, you nobody's going to. So That's why there's so much effort in destroying the natural world, to the point that if they're not going to survive, it's going to be very hard to anybody else will survive, you know, and make a living off of for the next generations. They don't really care, you know, about their next generations. It's like their children are tokens of exchange, you know.
Yeah.
And so they do not care, you know. So like they're making decisions on like chemtrails and destroying the last of the oceans and, you know, the enslaving the last of the rivers and so forth and so forth, you know. And so we, I think that we as more caring, making more efforts to, you know, that evolutionary process is that we must create the alliances. And so there's the new nations alliance is being rebuilt. That's why this blue corn confederations are rejoining more actively in through, you know, humanity, because the efforts of the underworld, like we see these governments and all the laws they're passing, everything's like,
yeah,
okay, now we're gonna force everybody to have the like those vaccines and you have to take this, and you're like, wait a minute, no, that my body is mine, but that's what we think. But they want to do this other thing that, you know, we still under the slavery, you know, rules. And so, but they know that nature is shaking that off.
Yeah.
They feel it, you know, they're not welcome here anymore. those corporations, they're not welcome. They're taking too much already from a living being who shatter them off with a little bit of storms, a couple of snowstorms, a couple of droughts, a couple of waves, and we see the power, you know, and then we see that this power of our arrogance, you know. And so, but us, we the ones who would like to shift and change and preserve, conserve, and reestablish that natural ecosystem where we take humanity, you know, in insults or activities away from that, so that everything can breathe, so the whales can breathe, and the water can breathe, and, you know, the trees can breathe, and not worry about we're going to come in and destroy them all. It's that we have to stand together. We got to stand with this word. We got to, you know, show our alliance and our care, and then live the best that we can in this transformation period. Because, you know, I'm still driving. I'm still talking in the phone with this electrical. But there's a lot more that we're doing in the efforts to unite, to support, to evolution, to find what we need to do to be in those sanctuaries. Because, you know, as we share with people, it's right now we call them sanctuaries. What there really are is, you know, places where life will be preserved.
Yeah.
So these are the refugee camps or the refugee places of humanity. But you can't just all run towards the refuge place after the cities collapse and all the chaos is, you know, or because there's no space for that. That cannot fit here, you know. So this is the time to make decisions, to be in preparations, to really learn about how to be in this new frequency, because it's not going to change. You know, that's why this underworld notice this higher frequency, this new dawning, is not going to change, because they want to keep their power, because they want to keep the billions of dollars in the bank while the other ones are dying of hunger and there's no homes, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is the efforts of our circles to help and support and then remind each other of that there is a sacred way to be in this earth.
Yeah, I think that is so important right now. That I was meditating once, and I was seeing that here, you know, the ascended masters, you know, the higher dimensional beings, the nature spirits, you know, everybody's working together here. You know, they're all in alignment, but humanity is out of sync. You know, humanity is the part that has lost its connection, you know, with the rest of the realms and dimensions. And that's what we need to do, is we need to get back in sync and work in harmony with these other dimensions and find our place and realize all those reside within us, you know, that we're a part of all these other dimensions, that they all need to be, you know, honored and respected, and just as we honor and respect each other, but and the source itself within everybody. But that's what I'm seeing right now, is that these higher dimensional beings, they all operate under universal law, which is pretty basic, you know, it's be kind to each other and be kind to the planet. It's pretty simple, but but we've made it so complicated. You know, people come up with all these really complicated belief systems and everything, and it you know, it isn't really that complicated. You know, if you make love your focus, everything will be revealed to you eventually. But that's what I'm seeing over and over again right now, is that these energies that are pressing in are aligned with universal law. They're aligned with universal consciousness, or they've transcended all cultures and beliefs into unity consciousness, where they see the creator in all creation and work on those levels. And that's what I've been noticing lately, is that these energies are pressing in very hard. The earth is aligned with it, and she's moving with it too, and there's nowhere to go for these dark forces. They're not frequency specific to the evolution of this realm or this planet, and they only have one choice. Basically, what I'm seeing right now is either heal and get into alignment with the awakened healing process, and you know, divert their energies in that direction, or they're going to implode. You know, they're not yeah. going to make it through this shift.
And the thing is, is the our job that we feel is to remind humanity that there's something else exists. You know, we have choices, you know, from our point of perspective and where we sit, we are a medium of the soul catchers or us to evolution into spirit beings to reclaim that freedom, you know, and it's a lot, because I know, like, especially a lot of young people, they're searching, so they find themselves in this, big festivals, and they get captured, you know, because they didn't know. Or they go to an ayahuasca. Now we know that they're using that as like a prostitute. You know, you go to Peru and there's 100 boats saying, everybody, hey, here, the real shaman, you know, and just people go without really, you know, taking the time to really do it in a way that is good for them. You know, so our reminding is, yes, you know, there's this evolutionary process. You know, we need to prepare for it. We need to shift and change. And that's our job as teachers or healers, you know. And that's why we are the spiritual leaders, you know, in taking a lot of our relatives and in reintroducing them to experiences where they become more aware, more gratitude, more love. Mm-hmm. And then they start finding what is our work here, you know, to be able to, you know, sustain ourselves and be respectful to the gift that we've been receiving.
I agree. You know, on that note, we're actually out of time, unfortunately. So I wish we had a 2-hour show. Yes. But we've got to close out. But I can't thank you so much for coming on the show. It was an awesome interview, and I'm sure we'll be in touch. And we got to get you out here to the ranch to check out what's happening over here. I have a teepee just like yours that I'm looking at. You're sitting out here, you know.
Thank you.
Beneath the mountain, and we'll have to get out here and do some sacred ceremonies and hopefully unite all of our grounds and come together as one.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you? If people want to contact you.
Yeah, we have the spiritual Spirit Jaguar website. Or the earthpeoplesunited.org. And there's where we have a lot of information and our schedules. We're doing a lot of ceremonies coming up. And also, I have some of my teachings, you know, and some of our other elders' teachings in recordings. So that's available on spiritjaguar.com. And so, you know, we always have ceremonies and journeys, pilgrimages. We're going to take a beautiful pilgrimage to do work with our ancestry and all these things that we're talking about right now in July. You can look at that schedule in our website, you know.
Great. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. Unfortunately, we got to sign up. I'll be in contact with you real soon about these ceremonies, and we'll have them up on the website as well, and as well as the links to the work that you're doing.
Thank you, James, and thank you to the BBS Radio, and many blessings to all my relations.
All right. Take care. All right. It's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and walk the sacred way. Good night.